From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the first portion of a message entitled, The Folly of Hardening the Heart Against God, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The text is chapter 11, verses 1 through 20. Having conquered the cities in the southern part of Canaan, Joshua and the army of Israel now turned northward. Jabin, king of Hazor, united the kings of the northern cities to fight against the Israelites. That army was equipped with iron chariots designed to terrify enemies. Yet the Lord told Joshua not to fear them, and in the ensuing battle, Israel won a great victory. In applying this account to the unsaved, Dr. Cairns will emphasize the danger of ignoring the plain teaching of God's Word and of hardening one's heart against the warnings of impending judgment upon sin. Jabin knew well what the Lord had done in the south, yet he deliberately chose to fight against God and lost. Dr. Cairns will commence this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. The psalmist felt his need of divine guidance. He had just been discovering the foolishness of his own heart, and lest he should be constantly led astray by it, he resolved that God's counsel should henceforth guide him. A sense of our own folly is a great step towards being wise when it leads us to rely on the wisdom of the Lord. The blind man leans on his friend's arm and reaches home in safety, and so would we give ourselves up implicitly to divine guidance, nothing doubting, assured that though we cannot see, it is always safe to trust the all-seeing God. Thou shalt is a blessed expression of confidence. He was sure that the Lord would not decline the condescending task. There is a word for thee, O believer. Rest in it. Be assured that thy God will be thy counselor and friend. He shall guide thee. He will direct all thy ways. In his written word thou hast this assurance in part fulfilled, for holy scripture is his counsel to thee. Happy are we to have God's word always to guide us. What were the mariner without his compass? And what were the Christian without the Bible? This is the unerring chart, the map in which every shoal is described, and all the channels from the quicksands of destruction to the haven of salvation, mapped and marked by one who knows all the way. Blessed be thou, O God, that we may trust thee to guide us now, and to guide us even to the end. After this guidance through this life, the psalmist anticipates a divine reception at last, and afterward, receive me to glory. What a thought for thee, believer! God himself will receive thee to glory. Thee, wandering, erring, straying, yet he will bring thee safe at last to glory. This is thy portion. Live on it this day. And if perplexity should surround thee, go in the strength of this text straight to the throne.
Perfect way, though cometh sorrow, great be shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord,
for the Lord,
for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. For thou art almighty, I am so small.
Lord, make me trust thee, whatever befall.
Thou art all holy,
make no mistake.
Lord, make me Christ-like, whatever it takes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord,
for the Lord,
for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We continue to receive encouraging responses to these broadcasts, and your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would be interested in learning more about the Free Presbyterian Church, you might like to receive a copy of our booklet, Separated Under the Gospel, which briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as what is the gospel, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century, and can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you.
the casual reader, Joshua chapter 11 is little more than a repetition of Joshua 10. The casual reader simply sees names, kings, battle, and bloodshed. Now that misses a lot, both historically and spiritually. Until now in the book of Joshua, the action has all taken place in the southern sector of the land. Read it carefully, and you will find that after taking Jericho, Joshua made a great sweep southward and took the whole southern section of the land. Here, however, in chapter 11, the scene of action changes from the south of the country to the north. The portion that we have dealt with especially in chapter 10, dealing with Joshua's reduction of the cities of Jerusalem and all the others of that confederacy that the king of Jerusalem had raised against him, the scene there telling us of the various conquests covers about 1 year. It's very easy for us to read it, and since we read it in a few minutes, we imagine this was a very brief campaign. But the campaign took about 1 year for Joshua to have the victory over the southern part of Israel. During that time, common sense would tell us that the kings in the north were not sitting doing nothing. They were not all sitting there like so many ducks on a wall waiting for Joshua to come and knock them off or shoot them. No, seeing what was going on there, Jabin, the king of Hazor, which was the principal city in the north, a very strong defense city with great influence, Jabin put together a coalition, an amalgamation of forces that truly is amazing. From a diplomatic point of view, it was amazing. From a political point of view, it was amazing. And from a military point of view, it was amazing. It would appear that he was able to get together in one confederated unit all the kings stretching from Megiddo, which is more or less the border of the south with the north, the first real big and important place as you go from south to north, from Megiddo stretching all the way up to what we would now call southern Lebanon. And then he took in all the little kings and potentates from the River Jordan right out to the Mediterranean, getting them together in one mighty army, a very well-equipped army, with many foot soldiers, and according to the historian Josephus, though we don't know where he got his information from, with many thousands of chariots. We do know that they had chariots. They were specially equipped, we are told. This is something that many ancient people did. If you read the ancient history of Britain, you'll read of a queen who led the ancient Britons. When I was at school, we learned of her having the name Boadicea. Now, her name has been rewritten by modern historians to Boudica. I don't know how she called herself. I'm sure those around her called her many other things. But she was a warrior queen, and she had the same idea with the chariots as these ancient Canaanites. They had great scythe-like blades attached to the wheels, so that when the chariots were driven through the infantry that was against them, they were deadly weapons of war, and they cut down the soldiers of the opposing armies. Jabin was able to bring together, therefore, a mighty force. He was able to amalgamate not only their numbers, but their purpose into one resolution. First, stop Joshua, and then secondly, wipe him out. It must have been a terrifying sight for the children of Israel. It must have caused great anxiety to think, having spent a year battling our way from city to city, now we are faced with an even stronger confederacy, with many more soldiers and weapons of war that we have never had to face before. The Lord stood by Joshua, and he says, "Fear them not. Tomorrow I'll deliver them up slain." He taught Joshua something. I'm not going to go into the practical application of it. We may at a later time, I don't know. But instead of sitting down in fear with all these great chariots, remember, a chariot needs a horse. You may not be able to stand before the chariot with the whirling blades attached to the wheels, but just cut the hamstring of the horse. Not only will the horse die, but the chariot will become a grave rather than a weapon of war. And so they did. That great confederacy was broken. And for the next 6 or 7 years, Joshua moved throughout the northern section of the country, reducing it. Until verse 23 says, he took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. When you read chapter 11, you can sum it up then very simply. It tells you about the confederacy of the northern kings and their defeat. It then tells you about the conquest of the remainder of the northern section. And then it gives you a summary of the conquest of the entire land west of Jordan, and especially of the giants who had inspired such fear into the former generation of the children of Israel. Now, here is history. But as we have noted right throughout the book of Joshua, we find much more than history here. We find spiritual truth in this passage. Here again in Joshua, we will see foreshadowings of Christ. And I think next Lord's Day morning, I will draw your attention to how Joshua parallels Christ in his great conquest according to the law of Moses. We will see then a foreshadowing of Christ, our greater Joshua. Also, we can see here doctrinal, devotional, practical, and evangelistic truths. Today, what I want to do is to turn your attention to the words of verse 1 and link them with what we read in verse 20. Because I think that here there is a solemn and a searching message. It came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things that he sent to all these kings to form a confederacy against Israel. Verse 20 tells us that it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel, that he might destroy them utterly, that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. This text strikes a most solemn note of warning. Jabin was a title of the kings of Hazor, much like Pharaoh was a title of the kings of Israel. The word has the meaning of the wise one, or the intelligent one. And yet the very first thing we read of this man is something that showed him as idiotic, not intelligent. As soon as he had heard of Israel's victory over the southern confederacy, he launched forth with his own northern confederacy to defeat the children of Israel. Clearly, he was depending on superior numbers to what the south had. He was depending on better preparation. He was depending on much superior armament. But he was overlooking one very vital lesson. Any military man should have seen it immediately from what had happened in the South. It is one thing to bring together a great confederation of nations and armies. But once that confederated army suffers one devastating defeat, it leaves the rest of the land wide open for systematic reduction. That's what had happened in the South. Obviously, Jabin was either so blind, so foolish, or so proud of his own abilities that he was heedless of the lessons of the Southern campaign. Even worse, he was heedless of a much greater lesson. By that time, the whole land, with all the kings and all the cities and nations, they had heard of the Lord's mighty action on behalf of Israel. They had heard how he had intervened time and again. We know from Scripture they had heard of the drying up of Jordan. They had heard of the fall of Jericho. We cannot today really imagine the shock waves that went through the entire area with the fall of Jericho, and especially the nature of its fall. Jericho has been called the oldest fortified city ever excavated. It's the oldest fortified city known to man. Its walls were a wonder of the world in those days. Its defenses were apparently impregnable. And yet they heard how Joshua didn't even have to sling a shot against those mighty walls. He didn't have to have one soldier try to scale those walls. He didn't have one try to set them on fire. God simply sank them into the ground, and they went up straight, every man before them. Now the shock of that going through the nations was truly tremendous. They'd heard also of the great sweeping victories the Lord had given to Israel, every one of them testifying to the power of God on behalf of his people. Jabin knew, as surely as he knew his own name, Jabin knew that he was not only going out to fight Joshua, who was demonstrably a great general and a great leader of men. He was not only going out to fight Israel, which had demonstrated its prowess in the field of battle, but he was going out to fight against the Lord God Jehovah. But he determined to fight on to his own destruction. Our text tells us when he heard, he became more obstinate. I was thinking as I read this, he was hardened by the very news, or kind of news, that had brought the Gibeonites to sue for peace. When he heard what they heard, instead of it bringing him humbly to sue for peace, it made him hard in his heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free. at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.